Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Compromises. Dibs, did I hear you say play golf yesterday?
Yes, squeezed in a round. Got out at 237. Was able to finish 18 holes in 3 hours and 10, Steiny, with my boy up at Lake Chabot, with my boy Keon.
Wow.
Little father-son afternoon jamboree.
That's nice. What'd you shoot?
Yeah, because you were kind enough to loan me your old driver.
Oh, right.
I was slotting it in, and 92, hit four balls out of bounds. There's a glimmer.
How'd your boy do?
I won't give out a score. Still hasn't got over on the old man yet, but it's just a matter of time. He's like the Dallas Mavericks, and I'm this year's Warriors. He's knocking on my door, and right. I'm going to have to let him in here pretty soon. He's darn near 18, and he's already better than me, but, you know, I
Is
still
he
got
really?
That.
Okay, Dan.
Yeah. You can drive it better. His short game, sublime, Steiny. Sublime. Yeah. He's an artiste with the sand wedge. Yeah. Still can't putt like the old man. I rolled in about 6 10 footers yesterday for old time's sake. But thanks for
invite Steiny next time. You know, if you can.
No, we're getting closer. I've been in hibernation, Goo. I've been in a dark place. I'm just coming out of it right now.
Yeah, and Dibs, I'm just looking at my some of my scores lately. I don't know what's happened. I mean, I've gone 95, 93, 102. Now, the 102
be
was in the
job.
Rain. Hey, Fitz.
I thought joke Fitz. Artist would have fit better there.
You might need a little break, Steiny. Oh, the 102.
Oh, I might need to start playing more. Now, the 102, it was just so stupid. Playing in the rain without gloves.
Yeah.
Oh, you told
that
me
was the outlier. But, you know, 95 at Poppy Ridge with a 51 on the front. And Dibs.
No.
Just a couple – choke artist. Yeah.
See, it feels good when you throw a guy's own drop back at him.
Yeah.
Self-immolation is what that is.
Back
he burns
up to
himself.
14-6. It's coming off. Yeah, nobody cares. Okay.
In 10 minutes, Steiny, all of us are winners with Guru's lock of the day. So it's even in my lowest point yesterday when I hit a ball left on 8 out of bounds. I thought, you know what? It's okay. Tomorrow, 118, I got a chance to make some chicken with the Guru lock of the day, liquidating all assets on a Tuesday afternoon.
Trying to remember number 8. I haven't played in Chabot.
It's the par 5 where it's kind of blind. If you hit it well, though, you can run way down the hill.
Oh, yeah,
down.
Oh, yeah.
Second shot goes up. Yeah,
wait.
I had a 2-way miss yesterday. Snappy, OB left, flare right, took a double.
Because it's
gutsy double.
It's a long way to the right out of bounds on that hole, isn't it? But it does slope down toward the.
Oh, it sure does. Mount slope more.
Dibs, did you say hello to the young lady that throws down in there? Remember, she had somebody call from Lake Chabot.
Yeah, Carlotta not working.
Yeah.
On the late,
she was
still a little chilly. Yeah. As the days get longer, the burgers get hotter.
Okay.
You know, all right. She'll open up in the spring and summer. Yeah.
And by the way, I'd like to correct something. I think I said Lloyd Pierce was the first coach fired. The second coach, Ryan Saunders. Ryan
Correct.
Saunders. Thank you so much to the text line. I've always felt this on an All-Star weekend. I know I host a sports talk radio show. That All-Star game is such a tough watch for me. I just don't want to watch it. I don't want to watch the game, Dibs.
Yeah,
no.
I get that.
For who? For what?
Have you ever been to Cirque du Soleil?
Yes.
The All-Star game is like Cirque du Soleil. You're not looking for stops, cuts, passes, and plays. You're looking for the best of the best of the absolute very best to go out there, enjoy each other's company, and have a few laughs. And then in the fourth quarter, they actually get down to playing some somewhat more serious last year than ever basketball. And that's fun, too. You get the best of both worlds. It's the best of all-star games.
And it's like an episode, Steiny and Dibs, to the Super Friends. You see all the top dogs. And, Steiny, last year you came in, we were fired up. They had no time. It was like a pickup ball. They went to a certain score. Giannis was getting D'd up. Dude, that thing, I need more of that. Last year's was spectacular. I'm going Peter Parker. So this year I'm thinking they're going to do that same thing, and it's like the playground. Let's go. Steiny, that was awesome last year. LeBron and Davis hit the free throws to win it. Give me some of that, even though I don't want them there, but I'll watch because I'm at the house.
Well, if they're going to play it might as well be entertaining. I'm with you, Goon. Right. Yeah. I think it's better than baseball, Steiny, because the baseball All-Star game is – fresh elite pitcher against mildly interested batter, usually overmatched.
Mildly. I mean,
you're facing the absolute best guys who are coming in, you know, to make sure they don't get embarrassed. So that's why the All-Star game's 3-1, 4-2. It's a grind.
You know, first of all, who's Peter Parker?
Spider-Man, Steiny.
Yeah.
That's his first name.
Spider-Man has a real person persona. No, he doesn't. No, he's only Spider-Man.
He has a job too, Steiny. Wow.
No, you're thinking of
girlfriend.
Superman and Clark Kent, obviously.
No, I'm thinking.
No, that's the equivalent. Yeah, just like Batman
help
would be
Kyle.
Bruce Wayne.
The spectacular.
Are you doing a bit?
Spider-Man.
This is a bit.
The original Spider-Man was only a Spider-Man. He didn't have an alternate persona in the original.
How did he become Spider-Man?
Spider-Man. We don't know that.
Yes, we do.
That's your job. He worked
Peter
at the
Parker
Daily Bugle.
Got bit by
that
a spider.
That was Clark Kent.
Yes, we're losing comic book cred. We ain't going to, what's it called, con? What's the con? Comic Con?
I was
going to
say, our booth at Comic-Con is no longer.
Our library mode at Comic-Con.
Spadoni?
It's out the window.
Help me here.
Oh, please.
Now, I know that there were Spider-Man movies made.
Yeah.
That may be, but I'm talking about the original. Spider-Man does whatever
the Daily
a Spider-Man.
Bugle,
there was
Steiny?
No.
Steiny, let me ask you this. And you may, was he born a spider baby, or did something happen to an individual
there
who lived
go
among us to make him become Spider-Man?
He just always was a Spider-Man.
So he was born a spider baby.
Yes. Absolutely.
Born in costume.
Yeah.
You might have watched the Amish version where
born
the
in
spider parents lived
all
on a farm. Yeah.
Superman
was
born on Krypton, Steiny, so that makes sense. And he wrote
time,
for the Daily Planet, not Daily Bugle. So there are some similarities, but it's all right.
And he wasn't in Charlotte's Web either, Steiny. So
why?
I don't know if you're getting that mixed
nice
up.
I do not remember one Spider-Man growing up where I saw the guy transform from a human to into the outfit.
Oh,
I don't remember that at all. I just don't. Yeah. I remember him spinning webs left and right.
It happened a lot, yeah.
I remember him swinging from building to building. I don't remember his real person persona.
You don't remember him taking econ at the local junior college?
I don't.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, so your answer to is this a bit or not? Unfortunately, it's not. I really.
You honestly had no idea that
wow
Peter Parker was.
I believe him too.
Hello.
Spider-Man sans costume.
I did not. And admittedly, I haven't watched Spider-Man since I was a kid. Watched none of these crap movies that are coming out that are supposed to be better than the originals. They're not. So apparently. Yeah, so they're not. My point is this. Obviously, there was a Peter Parkey. Parker. What's his name? Anyway,
Parker,
Peter Parker was clearly
doing a great job.
Peter Parkey was the Bears kicker that double doinked it in the playoffs.
That's right.
Close.
Kyle's so brilliant.
Good save, Kyle.
I just don't remember.
Back to Wiggins.
Very little of that show was dedicated to his journalism career. I can tell you that. Otherwise, it's
photography.
I would have remembered it. That's journalism. Hello.
And he would go to work, you know, even on the cartoons, Sonny. The Daily Bugle is where he worked at, yeah.
Somehow they thought that him fighting crime would be more interesting to the audience than him banging out a 12-paragraph game recap. Good God. What's wrong
with you? All right, I'm going to the Google during this break. When we come back, you know what time it is. It's time to win some money. No. It's time to earn some money. And the guy who's going to earn it for you, Daryl the Guru Johnson, otherwise known as the Loch Ness Monster. That's coming up next.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
The original Spider-Man was only a Spider-Man. Oh, boy. I guess you learn something new every day.
Can I get that one more time? Just focus on the authoritative clarity with which my man Steiny delivers this.
The original Spider-Man was only a Spider-Man.
That's great.
That is so profound. Great.
Thank you, Spadone. Nice job, Spadone. Well edited during the break. You know, we get a little time to step away from each other and occasionally give each other a little homework. And for Spadone to come through like that, there'll be a little extra piece of coal in your stocking this year, young man.
Nice. 1967. That was the year that Spider-Man unveiled on TV, anyway. And I just do not remember a dude walking in to a newspaper. We can drop this in a minute, but honestly, did I forget how he changes from a guy to a Spider-Man? What happens? How did it happen?
He got bit by a spider.
No, I know, but
as luck would have it, yeah.
Did he start out every show as a journalist photographer, and then sometime during the show he switched to a Spider-Man, or was he a journalist photographer in the very first show and he switched for the rest of his life?
I think he got bit in the pilot, Steiny. Bit in the pilot is what I'm going with.
After being at work at Dibs, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is very
it
different.
Showed you his life. Yeah.
Right, but so life. You're telling me after the pilot, we never heard from that journalist again. It was all about Spider-Man.
No, he lived a double life. Always. Tiny secret double life.
He had a job.
Fighting crime doesn't pay the bills when you just web a guy and bounce. It's not like he stands there and gets a bounty. He doesn't get paid to be Spider-Man. It's his gift back to the city, his unique web-spewing gift.
All right.
And as the streets say, Steiny, when he would need to change, he would hit a corner, if you get what I'm saying. There was no button like a garage door opener, right? He'd go, you know what I'm saying. He'd get.
Occasionally he
vanished.
Would need to bounce. Yeah.
Okay, but Foghorn Leghorn never had a real body double, right? He was just a chicken. Right?
Yes, he was bit by a radioactive chicken, yes.
Yeah. Which is why he was able
Thank
to talk.
Yeah.
Okay. Just don't tell me that Foghorn Leghorn has human...
I got bad news about Disneyland, Steiny.
I love Disneyland.
You know, it's
My
not
favorite?
Actually Mickey there.
Disneyland is the one in California?
Yes.
You know, I mean, It's a Small World guy. I love that ride. It's a Small World is one of the best rides, I think, there. See, I'm dead serious. I'll take that over the Matterhorn. It's less of a line, and it lasts longer, and I like the song. All right, let's get out of this and go to Guru's Lock of the Day.
It's time for Guru's Lock of the Day.
Luck be a lady tonight.
Guru's Lock of the Day brought to you by BetQL. Get more information before you place your bets. Check out BetQL.com. It's an awesome website that uses data and simulations to help you be a better bettor. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com and use promo code BAY for 20% off your next subscription at BetQL.com. Guru had the Mavs minus 6 at the Magic. Here's how that one went.
Orlando's tied with Cleveland for the most games this year of not reaching 100, 14 of them. They made it to 100 here in the fourth quarter, but they've got no answer for stopping Luka and the Mavericks.
Yeah, they sure didn't. That audio courtesy of Fox Sports Southwest. Luka Doncic led the way for the Mavs with 33 points, 10 boards, and 9 assists to help Dallas knock off Orlando 130-24, but Luka missed a free throw with 7.6 seconds left that would have put the Mavericks up 7. Instead, as you can tell by our music choice, we have a push. Goo, that's a brutal, brutal way to tie.
Yeah, and it feels like a loss. We're having fun since this bit started. But they were up 18 points with 2 minutes and 52 seconds left. And they won by 6. And Terrence Ross hitting the three. You miss one, we cover. And then the smart ass on Twitter said, a push is a loss. Help them out, Dibs. A push is not a loss. You get your money back.
Right.
No harm, no foul.
Only a loss in three-way soccer wagering. Wolves and Man City right now, one apiece. But where you at, Goo? 12-3-1, is that right?
11-3-1. I'm trying to get the Roger Staubach back tonight. Yeah, 12.
Well, I'm always looking ahead, and I wait for the jingle because then I start to tingle because I know what comes next.
The pick is in. Yeah, I'm going to the ATL. I'm following them to Miami, South Beach. They take on the Miami Heat. There'll be no Jimmy Butler. Nate McMillan makes his debut as the new coach, so you know what that means. The Hawks are going to play some defense. No Jimmy Butler for the Heat. This is going to be a low-scoring game, so I'm going under 222. This is the second game of a baseball series, which on Sunday, the Heat defeated Atlanta 108-99. So that gives me an indication that this may be lower. Take the under 222, Miami, Atlanta. I feel good about that one.
Of course, Bogdanovich may be back for the Hawks tonight after missing about 6 weeks. I'm actually serious about that.
And I had that in my...
Yeah, it'll be a game time.
Was he going to play 40 minutes?
It's interesting, Steiny, the idea of the dead cat bounce. And that's a political term, is it not? The dead cat bounce. And I think it has to do with when, in this case, when a team gets a new, Cliffy. That'll be a sad day. But, man, you took me there, Spadone. That was rough. Because when a team gets a new head coach, they sometimes do get that one game lift. So that's the only thing that would scare me about an underplay. But I like it, Goo. You're hot. 222, the under.
But I hate the push is on the ledger, Steiny. I hate that one's there. I had to.
Well,
put
I could have sworn. I thought a push loses you a little money.
The juice.
Okay, so what? How many units? Like he lost a unit or two then, right?
It'd be 0.1 units as we've chopped these Randy Johnsons up into tenths for the sake of just.
But the record would be 11-3-1, right, Dibs? That's how you would numerically. That's what it would look like.
Yeah, if in a 16-game season, you're going to the playoffs. You're going to the offs at 11-3-1. I mean,
even if you
leak oil, you're a wild card team at worst if you're 11-4-1, you know?
Keep going. I love it. Yeah. I got room for air, is what you're saying.
I got to give you flowers because, you know, if things ever, dare I say, turn the other direction and I happen to, throw some dirt on the coffin, I at least want to be on the record as having praised you when things were good, you know?
No doubt.
I mean, 11-3-1 is 11-3-1.
Oh, man.
And he's doing this for all. You're doing this for how long? Are you doing this?
We said 30 days.
Oh, 30.
Yeah.
Okay.
After I eavesdropped on the phone call of my coworkers, having fun with Fade the Goo, so I just felt like 30 days. But I think I've proven my point. Is what you're saying, huh, Steiny?
What you've done, and it all stems from your Super Bowl pick that I just blatantly went against, and then I in-game went against it, and then dogpiled on one more, hashtag Fade the Goo, and then you caught me on the show call boasting about it. So, it's turned into profits for everyone, though, so ultimately a good thing came from an ugly moment for me.
Steiny, real quick, on the show call, sometimes don't say your name. Don't announce your name. You'll be surprised what you might hear. just kind of here, just fade in there and see what's going on.
Want to get away?
Yeah, I don't like to sneak up on people. I don't like to be snuck up on.
It was an accident, right?
Mm-hmm. All right. We were talking to start the show about the Giants. They play the Dodgers tonight, 6 o'clock. And the guy that we need to be talking about is Marco Luciano, 19-year-old shortstop. Now, there's somebody who I'd like to get excited about, but he's not going to be with the big club this year, right? They still have Brandon Crawford. Guru, tell me again. Tell me again why I should subscribe to getting excited for spring training, even though the Giants do not look very good.
Because they're in first place. The beautiful aspect of baseball, Stani, is you can have an average, but you can also have a team average of runners in scoring position. There's so many facets to where you may not be rich with super talent, but if you execute and do the right things, play good defense, you can hang in there. So it's a 9-inning long-ass game. And to me, Dan Dibley, that's why I'm not ready to just say the Giants have no chance. You look at their lineup, it's by far not the worst lineup in baseball. You look at their rotation. Is it the Dodger rotation? Is it the Padre rotation? No. But damn, we have seen worst to first in MLB before. And I'm just saying, I'm not projecting because I'm holding that in. The Giants could have some action, and Gabe Kapler could be the captain of this ship. This shocks a lot of people.
If things go their way, you know, you always got to stay healthy, especially with your rotation. And if you think about the veteran pieces that you have, all these players who, if they have good, sturdy years, able to play, it'll take pressure off younger players like Dubon, Solano. I know Yastrzemski's not younger, but he's not as experienced as Crawford, Belt, and Posey, and Longoria. If those four guys, if you can get good years out of three of them, then you could potentially have action, Goo. And by a good year, you know, Belt gets you 17 to 20 homers, and Posey's able to play 130 games.
Right.
And, you know, maybe rack up 10 homers and bat 280 or better, and Crawford shows a little pop. And Longoria, he's been a good to slightly better than good hitter. Last year he had a nice little bounce back year. So if you get these guys all to perform better than you would expect, you could have action if the pitching stays healthy. But unfortunately, you need a lot of things to go right because the Dodgers and Padres on paper, and I know we don't play it on paper unless we're playing Strat-O-Matic, on paper, they appear to have a pretty sizable advantage.
I want to know if Guru can tell me the last team that went from worst to first in baseball.
I want to say Kirby Puckett's Minnesota Twins when they went to the World Series in the 90s against the Tom Glavine Smoltz Braves.
So when you said we've seen it before, you literally meant we've seen it one time before.
We see it in sports all the time. We see it in the NFL.
Well,
hardly,
the NFL.
Rarely in the,
never
in the,
seen
rarely
it.
Rarely ever in the NBA. But, yeah, my guys are checking that Minnesota in the with that World Series. But I'll say this. There are 30 teams in Major League Baseball, and the Giants have the 11th highest payroll. And what bothers me, Dibs and Steiny, is you're not getting anything for that money. That's a stain, and that's a stain that needs to be fixed. And if you're telling me this year you can start putting some spray on it to get it away with the players and those bad contracts, Steiny, they're the 11th highest payroll, but yet you got nothing to see but Yaz pretty much. And that's putting it, you know, that's me being nice. So loyalty got you in this situation is where I'm going, Dibs, from the old regime. Farhan had nothing to do with that, with this.
Right, and I think with the pandemic last year taking away the ability of most teams to do most things and a playoff format that kept everyone in it, which kept a team like the Giants from really selling off like you probably otherwise would have. Like this year, if you find yourself, you know, heading into the deadline, which is usually after about 90 games, if you're 40-50 and you're 7 games out of a wild card, you can feel pretty aggressive about selling off what you can and thanking guys for an incredible tenure. But last year you were in the mix, and nobody knew if they were even going to get through a baseball season. Remember that, guys.
Wow.
That was really the height of the pandemic, was about where the trade deadline was, or right when the season was even starting, and it was nobody knew what anything was going to be. So It's tough to judge him on last year. This year, if you find yourself after 50 games at 20-30 and you look like a just like a powerless boat in the water, adrift, barely staying afloat, Steiny,
right,
as the slogan goes, let's stay afloat. If you're taking on water at that point, then it's time for Farhan to go to work.
I got you. It's just look at this roster. There's not a lot that excites me. The prospects aren't ready yet. And I will watch games and I'll pay attention, but I can't lie. I'm not interested in seeing Brandon Belt, work a 3-2 count for 6.5 minutes before getting called out. I'm just, we've done this all for years, it feels like, with Crawford and Posey. Give me, what would be a great bounce back year for Posey, both you guys?
I would say 280 batting average, maybe 10 home runs and 80 to 90 RBIs. I'll even take 70 to 80 RBIs.
I was willing to say 60, but I like where you're going, Goo.
I'm just going to say this. If I'm Farhan and we talk about multiple scoreboards, everybody in my infield has a different scoreboard because I want them to do well so I can get their ass out of town like a Brandon Belt. Remember, he got hot last summer. Had it been 162 dips, somebody could have called Colin and he could have been off the books.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is just no minor league last year. So all these prospects who aren't ready, and you're right, Steiny, they didn't get much more ready other than getting a year older and training and getting stronger, but the logjam ahead of them exists. If you were a single A kid last year hoping to get that first year in San Jose and you didn't get it, well, here comes another wave of people in the organization, and all the guys ahead of you are stuck too. So it really kind of slows down the development of prospects for this year. But, you know, with minor league, I think starting April 1st, you'll get a chance to at least get these guys some games and find out who's who.
650 says, Steiny, I think you're thinking of Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends TV show. They never did talk about his secret identity or where he worked. Maybe I'm getting confused with the...
No, it's no confusion.
With his friend. Yeah. What do you mean? It looks
Even
like
James Pappas is listening to us. He's us all.
Nobody knows who he is. Nobody knows who he is.
Our former board op, friend, family of the show, friend of the show.
Out of sight, out of mind.
If he agreed with you, you would say everybody knows.
You know what? What you just did there, was basically what Draymond Green did to LaMelo Ball. You're calling out James Pappas. A guy who used to work here, now's not here. Hey, Spadoni, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about
Google? Because
the more you know. Continually talking about the last board op.
Man.
Seriously,
he retired.
Wow.
Him and Pappas are boys. I mean,
they don't.
Spadoni,
no, they're not.
Are boys.
They're not boys.
And he's not on the other rival station. Oh, okay.
We're boys. We worked in promo, then we both worked our way
boys.
Up into
I know your boys.
Production, so there you go.
When's
like he's on another radio station.
But when's the last time you saw Pappas?
Oh, well, we've been in quarantine, Steiny, so, you know, I can't really be hanging out
with
him.
He lives in a different state. You know that, Steiny.
He does not, and you need to get to know him, too. Pappas does not live in another state.
He lives in SoCal.
I meant city.
Basically a different state, though.
Nice job, Goo. Come on. He's in L.A. I know where he is.
Man, you're just on your heels a little bit, Goo, because Steiny, that's one of the great call-outs on our program right there. You totally did a Draymond right there with the Pappas love. That's all right, though. It's all right.
Yeah. You know, the one thing you guys were talking about with the Giants is patience. How long's if you're a Giants fan and you see some of these numbers since 2016 and you're looking straight down the barrel of another 90 loss season. I mean, what do you do? I mean, why I would expect Giants fans to be more are Giants fans upset with where this team is right now? You know what I mean? Like, who – is this still a Giants town, if you know what I mean, Dibs.
I mean, without a doubt, I still think that it's are the area. By town, you mean the Bay Area, I assume.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think it still is a baseball-first town, quote-unquote. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how much the 49ers eat up being the only football team now. But pro football is it's once a week. It's 8 a year. Baseball, the everyday regularity of it matches up with the Bay Area's overall blasé approach to fandom. If a team gets hot, we believe we're all in. The Niners with their two latest Super Bowl runs, the one-offs, we go bananas for the 49ers. And then, you know, things kind of, they ebb and flow. The Warriors with this championship run, we're so bananas that the organization was able to build its own stadium. But we'll see in 10 years if the Warriors never return to form, how much of that mania still carries over. So I think, Goo, the one thing that's tried and true is the love of baseball in the Bay Area, just because it's as casual and as unaffected as most of us. Just, baseball, I'll watch it. Or, you know, it doesn't matter if they're really that good or that bad. It's there for me.
Yeah, and Stani, it's like a bad golfer, you know.
What do you know about it?
I'm about to tell you. It's like a bad golfer. It's like, why are you still golfing? Because he loves the sport. And that's what baseball fans, Giant fans tuning in. Okay, yeah, the score ain't going your way, but you're still getting that dose every night. That date is there. Either on the road at 4:05 or 6:45, whatever the new times are for the game to start, first pitch. And I'll say this, Dibs, I totally disagree with you because to me it's a Niner town. And I go back to my childhood when Joe Montana, the catch, and that thing started, that machine. And then you had the Raiders and Niners. They were kind of, you know, fighting for the love with the A's and Giants. But the Warriors were always the darlings. They didn't have to share the bay with anybody. But when the Niners were in their heyday, to me, Steiny, and just a couple years ago, fellas, the Niners were second to none. This play, the bay was off the hook. And I ain't saying the city, the bay.
Goo, what I heard you saying there is in baseball, or at least as it pertains to the Giants, winning and losing is less important for the Giants than for the Warriors and 49ers. Would you agree with that? Winning and losing is less important to the Giants than it is the Warriors and the 49ers.
No, I didn't. That wasn't my point. And I want to ask you, I did a bad job if that's what you heard. My whole thing is it's all dependent on what type of person you are. If the glass is half full and you love baseball and everything about it, you're looking at that farm system and you're just dreaming that, okay, in a year or two, these young pups are going to be up. Or if you're a diehard, Steiny, and you think that what's left of Bell, Crawford, and Cueto, they can get it done, I understand both sides, but I'm not telling you it doesn't matter, and I'll say this, and I mean it. The Giants are lucky. Nobody's lucky in this pandemic, but the fact that there were no fans, that's the rat on the table, because when fans can come to see your cathedral and watch a bad team, because there's bad baseball and there's tragic baseball. Sometimes you get a team that plays hard and they just lose to a more talented, and then there's the bad news Bears, Steiny. My point is on third and King, that camera scours the ball yard and the seats are empty, Dibs. That makes it a whole nother level of bad. And the fact
we
that
haven't seen it
we're
truly
not going to
see empty.
It.
We haven't seen it truly like Marlins and A's empty. And I think that you said something fascinating, Steiny, because I think winning in baseball is less important from a general fan attraction than it is in basketball, and probably more so than football. Because in baseball, if let's just say last year's Giants team, you get them this year and they go 80-82. Of the 81 home games, they're probably going to win about 40. So you go out to a game and you've got a 50-50 chance of them winning any game. And even if they don't, you know what? Going to a baseball game is a darn swell time, if I can borrow your phrase. Now, if you go to a Warrior game, it's more expensive. And if the Warriors are going to be 30-50, let's just say, outside of having a phenom like Steph Curry, just an ordinary Warrior team in 10 years when you have just ordinary players, that's not as fun as watching a baseball team that's got a shot at it, I think, just for the overall fan experience. I think in baseball, it's less tied to that immediate result because there's so many of them.
I'm with you there. I mean, I think if, let's just say hypothetically, you don't go to any games.
Hypotheticals.
The Warriors this year or whatever year, they start out 22-7, 22-8, and they're rolling. Like at that point, I think some fans would be like, let's go check out the Warriors. They're really good this year. But baseball, you know, honestly, if the Giants go 62-100 or 162, you know what? I'm probably going to go to two or three Giants games. Mm. No matter, you know, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent.
But attendance had dipped, Dibs and Steiny at Third and King pre-pandemic. Right. Okay.
And that's true. And now it's been, you know, because 10, 12, and 14, and then, oh, 16, it's an even year. And then, you know, 17, still kind of hanging in. And since then, it's been a slide. But until you get down to, you know, you start closing concession stands, and because you try to go to an A's game, and pre-Dave Cavill, I'll say that, because he's done a good job with the treehouse and making some fun areas there.
Food but trucks,
you go back,
yeah.
You go back 4 or 5 years, Goo, and you're hard-pressed to find a concession stand open down the foul lines. So until you get to that level, you know, the Giants obviously want to get 41,000 a game. But if you average 30,000, that's 2.4 million for a season. That's still a good draw.
And the one thing I found out, I think it was the last time I went to an A's game, if you go all the way in the first level, go all the way down the right field foul line, all the way down, all the way down, all the way down, that's where you can get the ice cream in a baseball cap, one of those plastic ones. And it's like a big one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what I'm talking about, Kyle, right?
What you know, nobody, strawberry?
Nobody's ever. Mm-hmm. I don't like strawberry. You know that. Chocolate, vanilla. But
I'm a man of nuance.
They can't. It's so big, it's hard to finish. And nobody can finish one. It's not like a little. It's like a legitimate hat, like Coco Crisp would wear. You know, like a legitimate batting helmet. I mean, it doesn't have the foam inside, but you know what I'm talking about. That's what I'm trying to make a point. It's even a big hat.
Wow.
Because he's got a big afro. Yeah. I'm telling you. Like a half a pound of ice cream in there.
It sounds like a challenge. It sounds like a challenge.
It's pretty tough. If I asked you guys, because one guy here in the 925 says he thinks the Bay's a basketball town, I always thought of it as, I always thought of the Bay since I moved out here 30 plus years ago. First and foremost, it's a Niners town. That's what it kind of felt like to me, especially in the 90s when I moved out here. They were so good. They dominated. And then the minute they were ever good, it just seems like, boom, they're just like, they can go 6 years without doing well. If they're good in that seventh year, all the fans are right back. They're right back. And though, I must say, when the Giants had those three titles, I thought they owned the city. I don't know whether the Warriors have the last 5 or 6 years, but I always feel like the 49ers always get the first crack at owning the Bay if they're good.
And I wonder if that will carry over, you know, if they become just pretty good or where the NFL lies, because it's so far south that I wonder if the 49er fan base isn't now truly much more of a Northern California fan base. And I should have, you know, next time we get Al Guido on, maybe we can ask for some demographic breakdowns, because not only where it is geographically, but they're the last team now. So if you're a fan of football and you love going to a pro game and you're not Raider Nation through and through, and yeah, you're thinking about crossing over, you become a Niner fan, because it's either that or you go to Vegas or you go down to L.A. for one of those spots. So
right.
To me, it's, if you're talking true Bay Area, the Giants match up with the Bay Area, and let's go outside, we'll go to the Giants game and we'll chill for 6 innings and have a micro brew and a crab sando, and you know, we won't really watch the game, we'll tweet, we'll be on the IG.
You can't go with me.
We'll connect.
Yeah. Oh,
no, I'm saying, Goo, this is what I think that most Giants fan viewing is, you know.
But Steiny, you don't have two teams in baseball in your market and not be a baseball team. I'm sorry. That's just, like, to me, like I said, I gave the Niners the nod, or just the baseball, you know, baseball.
Baseball town, yeah.
Baseball town. You got the Giants and A's, both rich history. And in our lifetime, we've seen them both win World Series. No way I think the Bay, like, you know, we get, the Bay doesn't get love for college athletics, you know, college football. But for baseball, you got the Giants and A's. It's a baseball town, Jack. You win, they'll come.
Well, if the Giants win, they'll come. If the A's win, they'll come later. But they'll come, but it won't be for a while. But I do see kind of what you're saying. You know, that's a good point about the 49ers moving down to Santa Clara, and I wonder if that has, like, kind of the demographics. You know what I should have asked Al Guido, too, Dibs, is I've heard that something's going to happen with Santa Clara Golf Course, which is right outside Levi Stadium. Like, it's going to end up being closed.
It's already closed.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Construction is underway. It's a full multi-use project right across from 49 Centennial.
Yeah. So what are they putting there, like a parking lot?
No. It's housing, mixed-use, residential, commercial. I think there's going to be a whole bank of restaurants, like restaurant bars. So for pregame activity. I believe there's a hotel on the project. I don't have the plans right here in front of me.
I like that. Pregame activity, dude.
Yeah, you know, somebody call Mr. Brady, Mike Brady, and have him ride the plans over to me. Yeah, that was a two-part
episode. Don't give them to Greg, though.
That's great.
No, Greg totally botched it. Spoiler alert, those plans get lost. But, it's mixed use, Danya. I was heartbroken to lose a golf course, but when you look at what they're putting in, when, you know, Al and I have had occasion to talk about it privately, it's going to be pretty sweet.
Well, yeah, you know what? I got you now, because where that golf course was it was
gone.
Right next to the stadium. Like, it's close to the stadium. It's not like it's three blocks away. Gone. So I got to believe that it'll be the closest place to tailgate in a restaurant without actually going into the stadium itself, I would think.
Right. I actually played there 2 years ago and then went to a Niner game. Got out
one
of those dew chasers, like 7 a.m., Goo. You get out when they're still dewing the grass, the dew chasers, and get done about 11:05 and have a veggie burger and head on over.
Wow, look at him. Veggie burger. Yeah.
Come on.
Wow. No cheese, huh?
Yeah, try not to.
Hey, something else happened. We were looking at anniversaries. With Wilt Chamberlain 59 years ago. There was a logo that was adopted in 1988, and some people think it's the best logo in sports, and it is this one. Tell me I'll ask Guru first because this is his bailiwick. In 1988, the Heat adopted the Flaming Basketball logo. One of the best logos in all of sports, Goo, or, that hadn't even registered in your mind?
One of the best logos in sports.
Okay,
I'll give them that. They hit that out the park, and to this day, it still is fire. And you just go look at their uniforms, what's in their closet, Dibs, and when they pay homage back to when they first came, I mean, the Heat, they got some raw stuff. They working with something.
Well, they are 98, 08, 18, about 33, 34 years old. 415 says the Giants own the city. 925 said Niner fans have been bandwagon over the years. See, that's the thing. I mean, it wasn't long ago when Chip Kelly and Tom Sula were there that they couldn't draw anybody at Levi Stadium.
It was hot. It was hot. Right. Ain't nobody saying that now.
It was hot.
I don't know the facts. Run. Yeah, but you don't hear it much.
Nah, but it's a factor. It's a factor.
Oh, and it is hot, too. I don't know if you sat over there, Goo, but...
No.
I have.
No, you haven't. You're in the air-conditioned press room. Come on, Goo.
Oh, gosh.
Well, I'm different.
Yeah, come on.
Goo?
I want to go see my team all sit in snow, rain.
No.
I ain't saying it's hot. Think about the Phillies and all the team, the Yankees. They got games. It's 100 degrees. You think the fans, it's hot. They go to the game to see the team they love. The teams they love. It comes with it.
Goo, when the last show we did from Sanford, from the hotel down there, if you remember, you had a beautiful, beautiful sweater on. It was a V-neck sweater with some checks on it, you know, like a pattern. It was really a nice sweater. No chance were you in that sweater sitting on the sunny side of the sidelines. No way. No way.
I did more.
You would have passed out.
I walked with Shasky, Nash, and the rest of the gang during a parking lot where Men of the People and had that bad boy on with Bonte Hill sweating like a dog. But, hey, I did it, Dibs. I got through it because I love people, and the energy was second to none.
And that was the Hyatt, right? The, the Santa Clara Hyatt.
Yeah, people poured us drinks and offered us
Dibs
other
stuff. Dibs was Guru was the first guy I've ever seen wear a sweater with nothing underneath it. He had a V-neck sweater, and I could see his chest hair coming out the bottom of the V. And I'm thinking, that's the first time I've ever saw that.
I wish I had taco meat.
97 degrees?
Yeah, how itchy. Swag levels 1,000 and above, by the way, for the for the sweater, the V-neck sweater, chest hair flowing. Yeah, I don't think you and I could combine our swag level, Steiny. We're still still a ways away.
Swagalicious.
I'm basically giving up on all that stuff. Yeah, no swag.
Look at Steiny.
Just admit you were itchy. That's all. Just
I wasn't.
You were itchy.
I wasn't. I pride myself on back then being in shape, and when you're in shape, you can pull that off and not feel like, oh, it's itchy. I got through it. I might have left a little early. Hey, I might have left a little early.
All right. And if you've
had to bring extra napkins, but
you've been listening to the show all day. I had an Al Troutwig mentioned real early in the show, and how about this? Yeah, you know, Al Troutwig once rubbed me the wrong way. My guy Dan Daly texted me during the show and said, "Yeah, I've heard Troutwig's a jerk."
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. He said he heard a story about Troutwig. He's the kind of guy who sends interns to get coffee, and then if the coffee's not good, he sends them back. One of those guys. Anyway, wish the best. Nothing but the best for Al Troutwig and Joel Myers. Draymond Green expected to play tomorrow. Draymond Green. He was a full practice participant today. I'm sure Damon Ratto and Kolsky will talk all about it. And we'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everybody. The original Spider-Man was only a Spider-Man.